Into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, eating people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Joe Garcia's podcast. That's all I got. UWN Productions, fastcustomshirts.com. All right, bye.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, I'm here. How about you?
I'm continuing my fight, which seems kind of pointless, against the ants. It looked like they cleared out a while, and then I started seeing a couple more. So, you know what? I'll lay out some more bait, which I did today. And now, again, they've got their little trails. Hey, he laid out more of this shit that was so good to us. Let's just eat some more. I don't know. Lisa's got a friend that works for the city, supposed to bring us some industrial type shit. So maybe throw that together. I think next week we're not gonna have the dog. So, and that's my main concern when like putting out any kind of toxic poison or whatever the hell, you know. Just don't want to hurt my dog any. But yeah, they would, you know, that was it. Worked a lot. And settled up with old Uncle Sam again, you know, gave him his piece of the pie, as they say. And yeah, I'm square for another year, I suppose.
Yeah, I did that a week ago. Mm-hmm. We all sat down and did that. And I did so poorly last year that I'm getting money back. So. Oh,
okay, but you were also doing what I should be doing, is feeding in to the kitty a little early, right?
Yep, that's what I have to, when I'm done with this and waiting for shit to upload and download, I'll be doing the old quarterly taxes for this year, so finish one, start another, and I'll definitely have to send money off. Again, luckily, I did so fucking poorly this fucking first quarter. That, you know, I can send an embarrassing amount of money. And they'll say, oh, fuck, I understand.
Well, yeah, I had to send a good amount of money already. So I decided to hold off on working on the quarterly taxes until tomorrow. Yeah, I'm done with crunching numbers, at least for today. You know, but I did a lot of that. Found his more hidden receipts here and there. And hey, if you own a small business, which I do not recommend people, you got to save everything. And it's going to figure in somewhere, you know.
It does. Yeah, they say TurboTax is fucking easy. And like the commercials are like, hey, look, even this fucking dildo can do it. And then you get on there to sit down and do the shit. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know any of this shit. I'm fucking, as soon as I have to sit down and do anything like that, it's just like, whatever. I don't know. This is fucking dumb. I'll just go fucking do whatever.
Yeah. So for me, like, I can't do that. Like, I'll have the same thing. It's like, what are they asking me? You know, and I got all my numbers prepared and shit, but I don't know the language, you know, and it's expensive, but it's more beneficial to just pay somebody that knows what they're doing to plug in everything where it needs to go. And hopefully you get somebody good working on you. The past 2 years, we haven't had that. So we've kept jumping around from place to place. And this year, hey, we had somebody that knows how to communicate and knows how to, you know, that seems to give a shit about what they're doing, you know, and is trying to, like, steer you towards where you should be.
There to help, not just to do right. A job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I was much happier this year, but still, you know, need to look for a CPA or something like I used to have, because that was the best.
You know, good luck.
Yeah.
I hit up 5 to 8 last year because I got so pissed off doing this shit. They all told me to go fuck myself. It's just like, I have all the receipts already entered. You just have to enter the shit because I'm fucking dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did all the work.
A lot of them have a deadline on that shit too, you know. I don't know. It's weird. It's a whole weird thing. I'm glad it's over for this year.
It's not fucking over. It's never over until you die. And then for some reason, your fucking family has to file one more time. Like, that isn't going to be crippling for them.
But yeah, so that was that. That was fun. I already mentioned the ants, and I really didn't do much of anything else.
Oh, shit. Speaking of the ants, do you know where the anthill is? Like, do you know where they're going to?
I think it's in the fucking walls.
Yeah, that, like, fucking, like, if you knew where, like, it was, I know the shit for you to fucking get that'll kill them. And I was going to say, let me know afterwards. But, yeah, if it's in the walls, if you think it's in the walls, you're probably going to have to call it, dude.
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah, like I said, we're going to try one more thing and then probably give up and get Tim Gross out of here to do his thing. So we'll see. We'll see. It's a lot like fighting those train wars. You know, they just, you know, they keep coming. Keep coming.
Speaking of train wars, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a movie old Tim Gross recommended.
No,
you know, you just mentioned it. So, Men in Suits, a documentary about
businessmen.
Yes.
Bankers and lawyers and such.
You got it. About people who wear like monster suits in movies and shit like that. Like starts monsters? Out like, okay. What?
Like monster furries?
Yes, like monster furries.
Right.
So it starts out with, you know, the Bob Burns types doing the black and white gorilla movies and TV shows and shit. And then you go to like the monster movies and all that, Universal. And then, you know, your Predators and your Aliens, Goro pops up. And to like, I want to say modern day, but this was like 10 years ago, to like mocap and how they kind of do shit now. And they interview a bunch of dudes who wear this shit. Doug Jones, Brian Steele, the lady who plays Amy in Congo. So that was nice. She didn't eat any tacos or play Doom, though. Yeah, it was okay. It was a decent documentary. Like, if you're not into this shit, I don't know how many fucks you'd have to give. And if you are into this shit, probably already know all this shit. But it's just kind of because I like this shit. She's like, oh, look at that. Look at that. I had it on as like a background thing while I was painting. And I was like, oh, there's some cool shit. Look, there's Predator. That's awesome. So I spend it, and then people would start talking. I'm like, go back to painting. I don't want to look at your fucking face. Put a mask on, bitch. But yeah, it's all right. It's worth a watch if you're into that shit. It's on YouTube. Nothing spectacular. Or sorry, nothing amazing. I didn't want to offend you saying spectacular. You know, being an offensive word and all.
Was there one like common question that they were asking all these people, or was it just kind of all over the place?
I mean, it was kind of like a through line. You know what I'm saying? Just telling the story of people acting in these suits. From like beginning to now, 10 years ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, they just kind of clipped it in the narrative, like, oh, you know, how long does it take to get on? And what's your process of that? You know, it's like your very average talking head documentary.
How do you go to the bathroom in that thing?
Some of them have cock holes. Like if you have to take a salad or something, I don't know, that might. I think they talk to you about that beforehand, so you adjust your diet, I guess, or your schedule. So, yeah, but, I mean, like these big monster suits that you're going to be in for a while, a lot of them have fucking cock holes and shit that they kind of hide. So, I mean, that sucks for the people taking them off. I'm sure you spill piss on the inside, a couple drips here and there.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to keep going. I only watched one movie.
Joe, I watched a fantastic hit movie. Excuse me. Tremors 6. A Cold Day in Hell. This one starts out in they don't really say where the fuck it is. Like, normally on these things, if you're in a different location, it'll say Zimbabwe, Uganda, in white letters or some shit down at the bottom of the screen. But this didn't. It was just an Arctic tundra, you know, with wind blowing snow all over, and it really, really cold. And these white people are just wearing, like, a sweatshirt and an open jacket with no goggles or anything. I'm just like, damn, it must have been a lot colder when they shot the thing. So they're all fucking drilling or whatever the fuck these idiots are doing in the snow. And oh my god, there's Tremors in the snow. Like, I thought this was Alaska or some shit. I don't fucking know. Anyways, old Bert, he's back in perfection, and he's running the store for the lady. I guess she went out to Las Vegas to become a showgirl or something. I think her name was Penny. I can't remember. Anyways, old Bert's the manager of the store now, and all those years of not filing with the IRS finally catch up with old Bert and the tax man. Yeah. And the tax man gives him his papers. But lucky for Bert, his son, Jimmy Kennedy, shows up and gets a phone call. And it's from those people saying, hey, we got Tremors and we need your services. And he says, thanks, I'll be there. And then I'm thinking in my head, wait a goddamn minute. They didn't say shit about money. Like, why didn't they write that into the fucking story? Like, oh great, here's the problem, he needs to pay this tax debt, here's the solution, they're gonna pay you to hunt Tremors in the snow. No money is ever talked about. There's not going to be any transactions, anything at all. You just come up here, bring your equipment and everything, and risk your life, and, you know, we're just a bunch of hippie researchers. Not in the snow. Just somewhere in Canada, where I guess fucking 2 feet away, it's an Arctic tundra. This shit was fucking dumb as hell, dude. That's the only part that's in the snow. No, there's one other part I'm pretty sure they shot it in the desert and just fucked with the color in post to make it look cold. But yeah, otherwise they're just, you know, they're in the fucking dirt in Canada, just romping about, fighting train wars in Canada. It's not cold. There's no snow. This, what the fuck? Yeah, this is the one where Bert finally wears the Cubs hat, so that's the one good thing about this movie. Yeah, this one was fucking pretty lame. Probably the cheapest one, boring. I wanted to fall asleep during it, and after watching it, I did go to sleep. Oh, fuck. Yeah, it's Bert, like, I forget which one. Maybe the third one where he gets swallowed by a Tremor and has to break out. I guess he was infected by a Tremor parasite and it's been slowly killing him, making his eyeballs bleed. So they have to, like, go and fucking extract some fucking seed from the Tremor's uvula or some shit. Yeah, they had to milk a Tremor. So, get up on this table with a hole in there, Tremor. So they start milking this fucking worm, and they just straight mainline inject it into fucking Bert, and he's all better now. Tremor's fucking in Canada. Probably the worst one. If Bert wasn't in these movies, I mean, they wouldn't be worth a fuck. First one's cool with the puppets and shit. The second one, they still got puppets, but when it's all CG and shit now, and the only puppets that were really in here was like a really haunted house looking Tremor mouth thing. And like the little worm tentacle tongue things, a couple of those to get shot and blow up, but it's better than nothing. I don't think there are any puppets in the last one.
Is this the final Tremors movie to date? No?
Umas.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tom, the only movie that I watched this week, aside from the movie we'll discuss later, is a Western. This is Roy Colt and Winchester Jack. I don't know if you can see this picture, no, not really, of this poster. This poster looks fucking kick ass. But this movie, directed by our friend Mario Bava, this shit sucks. This is about two guys. They're outlaw types, you know, but they're always fighting and shit, you know, who's gonna be leader of their outlaw gang, you know. And one day, one of them says, "You know what, man? This life, it's too hard for me. I'm gonna split. You know, I'm gonna leave the outlaw world and go become a sheriff." You know, so they part ways.
Fucking 180.
Yep. So he gets a badge real quick. You know, they hire him on as sheriff of a town. Turns out somebody there in that town has a map to some hidden gold, Tom, and like they want
Curly's gold.
So he is, yes, Curly's gold. And let's see, they're going to go get this gold. You know, he's going to escort them. But
what?
He's going to escort them there. He's not an escort. There are plenty of, you know, old-timey hookers in this. But I'll get to that. Meanwhile, the other guy that's leading his band of outlaws, you know, they come upon, I guess, two bounty hunters that are leading an Indian girl that doesn't look Indian. She just looks like a regular Italian gal, you know, and, you know, olive skinned, as they say. And, well, you know, she's getting arrested for killing her husband. This guy frees her, and then he's just trying to fuck her the whole time. And he does, because she's a whore, you know, as long as he's got money to give her, she's going to fuck. And, Wayne, anyway, they cross paths, you know, the two ex-partners, and, you know, it's a little bit of conflict. They're both after the girl because they both got money. And, yeah, they end up joining forces and getting the gold. And it's weird because this movie, you know, supposed to be a comedy. You know, it's supposed to be one of these slapstick comedies with the stupid music and shit and shitty bar fights. There's another guy after the gold, and he's like a Russian guy, you know, but I don't know. He's got like hemorrhoids or something. That's supposed to be funny because he can't ride a horse for very long, or he's got to stop and take a shit, you know. So you would have loved it because there's like fart noises here and there.
Did anybody fall face first into horse poo-poo?
No, they didn't have that. Like, I was waiting, well, when's that going to happen? You know,
somebody got trothed up, though, right?
Well, they're in this whorehouse, and there's like a silhouette of a lady dancing, you know, real provocatively, you know. And finally, you know, somebody breaks through that sheet that she's dancing behind, you know. And of course, you know, it's a man, you know, just earning his money. And it's like, oh, it's a man. And he's like, oh, how can you, you know.
How dare they?
Right.
Don't they know what fucking year it is?
Right, exactly. You know, but this is an Italian, you know, and I think all the great Westerns are the ones you already know and heard. Eddie Westerns, you know, it's like these things that some people might call a hidden gem. No, it's not. You know, it's not a fucking hidden gem. This is not a buried treasure, you know, that people are searching for. This is just a fucking lousy movie. Anyway, at the end, the guys are fighting again, and that lady, that one whore, she rides off with the gold. And they look at her, and they start laughing, and that's our closing shot. You know, this piece of shit. This is fucking dumb, man. And even though they're not, you know, it's all subtitled and poorly subtitled, you know, like half of a word will come out. Yeah, this is just garbage. Garbage. I don't want to say stick to horror, Baba, because his horror sucks too, but this is even worse than that. Yeah, this guy sucks. Still, nobody's gonna convince me otherwise. You can try all you want. You can, you know, throw like a message down there telling me why he's great, but I'm not gonna believe you because I've seen the movies. You know, haven't just seen the big ones, and I didn't like those either.
You like that one?
I did like that one.
Yeah. That one out of 80.
Yeah, I already forgot the name of it though. You know. Yeah, don't fondle a mongoose or something.
No, I think that's the other WAP. He likes naming shit after animals, and it has nothing to do with shit.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, you like this word? Plumage. Fuck you.
Exactly.
Oh, fuck. Joe. I had a couple beers last night.
Did you?
Yeah. And I said, hey, it's time to watch something that's sure to be a hoot. So I put on the Dennis Rodman classic, The Minis. Oh, boy.
I have not. If you were about to ask me, have I ever heard of this one? I have not.
It's something, Joe. I don't know who this is for. Like, it can't be, it's under like family movies, family comedies. I don't know. It can't be like, hey, everybody's everybody and we're all people. For like a kid's movie to get that message across? Not really. Okay. So in this movie, Jesus Christ. So the movie is about a bunch of fucking dwarves. They say midgets a bunch in it, and they always go, dwarves! So, I mean, they're trying to get that across, I guess. But, shit, man. So, I'll call them LFs. So these LFs, they're like playing basketball, street ball. There's two of them. There's a dude who kind of looks like Vern Troyer, and his character's name is Chevy. It's probably Chevy, but they pronounce it Chevy. Mm-hmm. And he's a Spanish gentleman. And I think this is an East LA production, but I'm not 100%. They might have been born there. I'm not sure if it was shot there. And then his other little buddy guy, his friend, he's another one of these people. And his name's something. And, you know, they're out there playing street ball with a regular size ball. Which I thought, well, what the fuck? That's dangerous. What do they make those little ones for then? So they're fucking sitting against the fuck. They're sitting against the fence. And the littlest one, the mini-me looking guy, he's sitting on this fucking basketball dude. And it's so sad because he's so small when you see him sitting on this basketball. And then this fucking kid, this like, you know, you can't say regular, normal, but this unbirth defected kid comes walking by the fence. And this fuck, he's like the one LF, he's like, hey, Chris, whatever, you got some time to play ball with your old man? The kid's like, oh, no, Richard, I got to get home. I got homework and shit. What? That's his kid? Why didn't he call him dad? What the fuck is this? Turns out the kid doesn't respect the father because he's an LF, you see. And the kid, his father pressures him into playing basketball. But we learn later on he doesn't want to play basketball, Joe. And they have like this heartfelt, trying to be like this deep thing in a restaurant where you got an LF talking to his full-size son. And it's, Dad, I don't want to play basketball. What do you want to do with your life? Why didn't you ever tell me that? Dad, I'm just like, they can't do this. They can't do this. If they do this, it's fucked. I'm just like, he's going to say, oh, I want to make people laugh. Dad, I want to be a clown. I want to make people laugh. I said, Jesus Christ. So they see a flyer, which is like a billboard to them. It says, oh, Venice Beach basketball tournament. $50,000 prize. So, you know, they get a team of LFs together, two other ones, and they said, Hey,
you know how we can win this?
We gotta, what if we had an NBA player? Yeah, let's go talk to him. So then we see the Rod Man up at a podium, like talking to a fucking sparse group of kids who don't give a fuck of what he has to say. He's just there to get the money. Fucking, he bolts off the stage when it's over, takes his envelope pieces out, and then these little LFs try and penguin walk up to catch him. Say,
hey, Rabble, will you be on our basketball team?
No. And he fucking drives away in his limo. And then he's talking to his agent. And his agent's like, holy shit. Do you know how much money we can make with these LFs? You go tell them, yeah. So he does. He becomes their agent, merchandises them and everything. And it's just a bunch of fucking little midget jokes. That's all it is. Like, there's one where fucking Dennis Rodman just throws the littlest one so he can slam dunk from, like, the other side of the court. Whee! They all climb on each other's backs to slam dunk and shit. It's fucking, it's just like, hey, laugh at midgets. And the fucking production is so bad. Like, how the fuck? They couldn't afford cameras. How did they get Dennis Rodman? Did he spend all his money on dresses? Is this community service?
How many times did they go between the opposing players' legs?
So the first game in the tournament, Dennis Rodman does everything. And they're just like, hey, man. Because, I mean, all but one of them's Mexicans. They don't really talk like this. They just talk like little Mexican. Well, I can't, it's redundant, little Mexican dudes. But they just talk like fucking, you know, like East L.A. Mexican dudes. So, yeah, it's like, hey, we want to play too, you know, you fuck. If I could do it, I'd punch you in the balls, but I'd fall over and break my goddamn wrist. He just like, oh, all right, my bad. So that's how that problem's resolved. That's it. Oh, my bad. I thought we just wanted to win. And they're just like, no, next game, we'll play little style. And it's just them running under people's legs the whole fucking game. So, yeah, of course they did it, Joe. I mean, it's funny. One, because it's a piss poorly made movie, just not well made. It's offensive as shit, because I can't tell who it's for. It's not made for me to fucking laugh at. That's the audience who's going to fucking love it. But it's not made for that. Like, it tries to have a message. Like, the littlest one, he wants this goofy bitch because she's fucking tall. No, not tall, but I mean to him, a fucking, you know. She's a regular, again, I don't want to say a regular, an unbirth defected lady. Meanwhile, his fucking, like, confidant is this lady who's an LF. And she's just like, hey, look at me. I fucking rose the ranks because of my personality. And she's a waitress. Like, I'm not talking shit about waitresses, but it's, like, supposed to be. He's, like, all down and shit. Just like, oh, you know, I'm a little LF. This is fucked. Oh, look at me. There were a bunch of fucking unbirth defected who tried out for this job, but they hired me. Maybe the fucking dude or lady who runs the place had a fetish, felt sorry, didn't want to be called the fucking miglitist or whatever people who are fucking deathly terrified of little folks are. I don't know. You know, saying all this shit now and looking at you, I just want to apologize. I didn't mean to offend you, being, you know.
Come out.
I don't know. I want to say maybe late 2000s.
All right. I'm just wondering what point in Rodman's career that he did this.
Yeah, it was definitely after he was on the fucking Bulls and all that shit, after the fucking NWO fucking rose and fell.
Yeah.
It's worth watching for sure. Get some fucking beers and some legal marijuana in you. Oh, shit, dude. They like do, I don't want to say parody songs, but you know how you take a popular song to change it a little bit, like, oh no, it's just parody thing. So they like rip off different songs, but the words are like, you know, when movies have songs that explain what's going on in the movie, like they actually got people to write music and sing music for the movie.
Yes.
That's this one, but it's all about like midget basketball and shit, and it's weird, almost circus sounding music, like really upbeat poppy music. The shit's fucked. Whoever made this should be ashamed of themselves. And I think it's like 76 minutes, so it doesn't overstay its welcome. Good. You watch it, you have some laughs, you have a good time, and wonder what the fuck. How did this get made for the $27 they had? But, shit, They made a video game too, Joe. I couldn't find anything besides the trailer and a couple listings on eBay. I guess it was a computer game. Okay. But it looked better than the movie. I mean, I wouldn't play this shit. I'm not going to go out of my way to fucking... I'll just play NBA Jam if I want to play a fucking... I don't know what the fuck. I tried to look shit up on this movie, but... I don't know, dude. The minis would recommend. Go have yourself a good time laughing at people who are different than you. And that's all you got?
That's it, man.
All right. Damn, I still got a couple. That fucking sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a big week for me to watch shit. I mean, I did watch this television show. I finished that up for All Mankind. And this is an Apple Plus show. And it's a alternative history thing, Tom. So in this alternative history, the Ruskies, that's the Russians.
Make me sick.
They get to the moon first before the USA. So that escalates the space race, you know.
Well, they think they can grow potatoes up there?
The U.S. goes up there. But then on their second flight, the Ruskies, they put a woman on the moon. Oh, shit. Now we got to add women to the NASA program. God damn. It's good. It's a good show. I've read that book, The Right Stuff. I read that book, you know, the early days of the space program.
I heard this song.
Are pretty fascinating. And this movie does a lot of that until it veers into like the what if stuff, you know, because like now towards the end of it, the Russians have a base on the moon and the Americans have a base on the moon. But the Americans, their shit's all fucking up and stuff, you know, having a lot of problems getting here and there, you know, and it's not just because they got women in there, you know, and it's all about, it's Cold War. So, you know, it's like, hey, do we have Russian spies in NASA? You know, got to inspect everybody. Oh, wait a minute. This guy's gay. Are you gay? No, I'm going to marry. I'm going to get married, you know, and. You know, just gets married to hide the gayness, you know, a lot of that stuff. Oh, let's double down on what the Ruskies did and put a black woman on the moon. Not just a woman. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's a good show. I enjoy it. I'm going to move on to season 2 this week, Tom.
Oh, I fucked up and forgot to do the promotions at the beginning of this thing.
Did fuck up, and after I, you know, this is a business venture, Tom.
I, because last week I was just like, hey, you know, if I do it at the beginning, the people who don't give a fuck, like, oh, I clicked on the wrong thing, you know, they'll just see that at the beginning. So great. And when I do these, like when I clip this shit, since that's at the beginning, I could have that start all the clips. So the stuff we were already, that I was going to, you know, Trey Moore's and the Mario Bava shit. Too late, fat boy. Forgot to do it for that. I can't fucking do it at the, if it's recorded after.
This thing here, you know.
I can't. Not on just the basic shit they give me. I'd have to get more fucking programs and it would just be more. And no, I'm not going to do that. I fucking greatly appreciate the 27 people who watch the videos, but I would assume you already know. So I just have to remember to fucking do that. And should head on over to Fast Custom Shirts and, you know, pick up the new Boy Gob shirt. Shout out to Red.
Mm-hmm. Old Red.
Got a new DWN production shirt too.
Red did not.
Doesn't matter. We appreciate all of you. Hey, speaking of which, that commentary track will be coming up soon. I know I said you'll get it soon, but
yeah,
it's soon-ish.
All right, you always have something to look forward to when we owe you something.
Fuck, sorry guys. Not the best week over here. I've been in a bit of a mood, and man, I don't know. Fucking, I don't know. I've just been in a shitty fucking mood. And man, old Eddie P, that whole situation, holy shit. Like, I heard fucking when that shit first happened, I was just, well, this is fucking weird. I wouldn't talk to a fucking 17-year-old girl online, but I don't know what's going on here. I'm just gonna fucking see what he has to say about it. And then the next thing that comes out is old Jim Rugg, the dude who does the YouTube shit with him, Cartoonist Kayfabe. Which I know you're a huge fan of. You turned me on to that shit. So, you know, I check out their videos and shit. So, yeah, he's just like, I'm ending my professional working relationship with Ed Piskor. And I was like, oh, shit, this sucks, man. I listen to this shit every day. Joe turned me on to this shit. And I was just like, oh, man, yeah, Wizard Magazine and shit. So I'm just like, what's this fuck? So that, I guess that means no more YouTube videos. Oh shit. Listen to that every day. Because they put videos up every day. It's like, oh, well, this, you know, it's probably not saying anything because this is all gonna blow over. And then the next thing I hear, like 2 days later, all this shit happened in like the span of a week and a half. Another fucking YouTube channel, you fucking turd. I seen all this on Reddit. Just when I'm scrolling Reddit, I see all this. And then in the comic books Reddit, there's a post from fucking your boy. I forget his name, but oh, hey, I'm Comic Tropes. For your dude, but anyways, he's just like, oh, I'm sad to report that Ed Piskor killed himself. She's like, what? So he wrote a big suicide letter saying where all his art and money should go, and like the key things in there was just like, yeah, I was dumb talking to this kid, I guess you can call it a kid, and that shit was taken out of context. Like, she posted screenshots of just whatever she wanted to do, and it was taken out of context. I guess it was like she was an artist or an up-and-coming artist or something. He liked her artwork. I don't know. Again, I'm not gonna fucking reach out to, hey, your sculptures are really good. That's just me. Sorry, call me a dickhead if you want, but I'm not reaching out to talk to any fucking kids or anybody, really. So, yeah, I guess weird thing to fucking do. But the girl even said that, like, oh, he's not a pedophile. He's just a creep. And I want people to know. I don't want him canceled or anything like that. So he ends up canceling himself. How? I don't know. But like I said, he left this, like, long suicide letter. And in it, he's calling out like all these people who were like piling on him and like part of the cancel culture people in the comic books industry. And he's just like, you are the people who murdered me. And Evan Dorkin, I hope the skeletons in your closet never come out. And I was just like, oh, fuck. And then it's just him, like, just talking about where he wants the money to go. And, you know, just apologizing for making a bad decision during the pandemic when everybody was in lockdown. You know, I'm sure going through that shit's rough. I don't know if I, dude, I wouldn't talk to no fucking kids. I don't give a good goddamn. But, yeah.
Okay, I'm sure being accused of anything is rough, you know. And I'm sure if you're guilty of it, it's rough, you know. From what I read, and maybe I didn't read it as into it as you did, you know, is that he'd been talking to this girl since she was 14. And that's fucking, you know, 17's bad enough, you know, but this is a fucking grown man. You know, this is not some 22-year-old that, like, hey, he's skirting the line there or whatever. No, it's a 40-year-old fucking man. Okay, you wouldn't know it by watching his shitty podcast or hearing his voice or whatever, you know. Tom put this podcast on when we were driving up to Camp Zool, you know, thinking I'd like it because I'm a comic book guy. But, you know, I mean, you like what you like. You have your own opinion on shit. I didn't have the same opinions as these guys did, you know, and I thought their interviews were not very, I didn't think they were very good. You know, I thought that they didn't really do a lot of research into some of the lesser known names that they had on there. Yeah, they know all about fucking Todd McFarlane, you know.
And Rob Liefeld.
And Rob Liefeld, yeah. And I saw Rob Liefeld's video, his tribute. But the thing is, you know, like, you know, yeah, he said some creepy shit that was very questionable, you know, and you can say it's taken out of context, but what context would you put some of those comments into?
So, like, the partners in crime shit or whatever, can you keep a secret? I guess he was showing her drawings of stuff that, like, isn't released yet, that, like, he's drawing for an upcoming thing. So it's like, hey, keep this under the hat kind of thing. But he's just trying to sound too cool for the room. Because, you know, I have one of his comics. I have one of his Red Room comics because I'm a mark for pumpkin shit. And then I also have other dude's fantastic comic, Aphrodisiac, which you suggested. And, you know, like you, I don't agree with everything they say, but I listen to a lot of shit all day, and, you know, they swear, and they're not the typical comic book, you know, people who talk about comic books, which is, you know, you could imagine that's not pleasant to listen to. So more or less, they came off just like normal dudes. So, I mean, that's why I would listen to it. Old Piscor at times did come off like too cool for the room, and people who wear sunglasses like inside and shit, I'm always sketchy about, you know, but he was dealing with some mental shit for sure. And that's why he's probably fucking wearing them. Like, he was insecure.
That's what I took from it. It's like, he felt like he didn't have anybody but his fandom, you know, his little, whatever it was, his little comic book circle and fandom. And I guess he felt, you know, that being taken away, like, what else did he have? You know, nothing. I mean, that's just pure conjecture on my part, you know.
No, I mean, he was all about the art, like, all about his art and comic books and shit. You can pick that shit up by listening to him and shit. if you agree with what he's saying, that's fucking irrelevant. It's just fucking like he was all about fucking like his art and comic books and shit. And like that's the main thing why it affected me so much. It's just like these things don't usually hit me. But, you know, I've thought about offing myself fucking more times than I probably should. And, you know, me doing the art and just focusing on my art and shit and just being about that. Just like, God damn, like this dude came off like he was halfway fucking successful and shit. Didn't really have to worry about a whole lot. And fucking, fuck it. Everybody goes through the same shit on every level. If fucking you're sad and miserable and shit, you're sad and fucking miserable and shit. So, I mean, it's hard to say, like, fucking, oh, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't have killed myself because, you know, somebody on the internet said, I mean, maybe I would. Maybe that would be like the last little drip in a bucket full of fucking drips over the fucking years. But yeah, I don't know. The whole situation's fucking weird. And I didn't hear the 14-year-old shit. Like, from what I heard, this doesn't mean shit. I guess 16's legal age in Pennsylvania. And I mean, that tells you all you need to know about Pennsylvania.
Thing, you know, it's like what's legal and what's fucking moral.
Moral, yeah.
Are two different.
No, I dig it. Like I said, I wouldn't talk to no fucking kid, but maybe it was an art thing. Like he really liked her art and wanted to be a mentor. Maybe he wanted to fuck her. I don't know. She didn't say that. She just said he was a fucking creep and that was it. But yeah, I guess, like I said, she was an artist and she kept like liking his posts, like his art and shit. So that's how they started talking.
Yeah.
So what age? I don't fucking know.
Any advice I could give that's like if you have a 14, 17 year old, whatever, hit you up on a private message or say, hey, you know, thanks for contacting me, but you can move these questions over to like the public forum. You know, and talk to the pair, you know, in front of everybody and keep it like legit, you know, because, yeah, the private messaging shit, that's all shady to me to begin with. You know, that's, you know, I mean, I use it only for business shit. You know, it's like, and a lot of times I don't see that stuff until like 5-6 days later because I don't pay attention to it. But, yeah, the thing with this guy's, offing himself, I don't want to say his death, you know, because you know it's a conscious decision what he did. It's like,
what, in his note he said he was murdered,
right,
by these people, these cancel culture people
here in a minute too, is but now you just see this outpouring of love and respect for the guy. You know, everybody's like doing tribute drawings and, you know, doing little things. I sent you that action figure picture that somebody did. It's like, you know, I mean, try to let people know that you give a shit about them while they're here, you know, and not when it's too late. You know, it doesn't fucking take much time to say, hey, man, I like your shit. Or, hey, you know, hey, I appreciate you. Or, you know, just some shit like that. Because you don't know what's going through somebody's head. They might seem fine on the outside, but then just a fucking mess when they're alone. But so, like, the guy that broke that story or something, because after you let me know about it, I looked into whatever. Now, that guy was just, you know, talking mad shit. And then the guy kills himself, and he's silent, and everybody's on his post. Hey, look what you did, you motherfucker. Hey, why don't you go kill yourself, you know? So it's a whole lot of, like reversal. Now they want this guy to off himself, and it's like another fucking mob type thing, you know. But the guy didn't take any of that shit down. He didn't take his original post down or anything, which is, you know, not that I respect that, but it's surprising, you know, because most people like hide that shit away, afterwards. And, you know, I'm sure the guy's racked with a little guilt. I don't know. I don't know the fucking guy. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Comic books, and we'll talk a little. I guess we're already talking about it now. But our list is going to be toxic fandoms or worst fandoms. Comic book is tiny. That's a tiny fucking fandom. You know, comic cons are big, but how much comic book shit do you see at those cons? You know, there's not. I don't think the
majority. It's just pop culture shit, really.
Yeah, the majority of the public don't even know that comics still exist. You know, that they probably don't know it's a fucking thing. You know, aside from shit like Spider-Man and Superman, Batman, you know. And they could give a shit. And it always, like, trips me out that such a small fandom is all these people do is fucking they're at each other's throats or just want to fucking criticize anything, you know, just to tear shit down. When, you know, you tear it down enough, there's not going to be anything left, and there goes your fandom. All you're going to be reading is old shit, you know. And it's the same for like the horror fans and shit like that. But I don't know, this was fucking weird, and it happened so fast. And, you know, like I said, the turnabout on that other guy was so fast too. And, you know, I don't know. Does anybody learn anything from it? Fucking no. What's there to learn?
I mean, somebody out there is fucking super mad about this shit, which, I mean, is understandable, and hopefully nothing comes about it. Mm-hmm. But you kind of get into the whole martyrdom thing and, you know, areas like that, and it's just like, shit, you know, it sucks to say, you know, good for you and make your stand, whatever. It's your life. Do what the fuck you want with it. Like, if you thought you had to kill yourself to make a fucking message or something, I don't know. Maybe that was part of it. Who fucking knows? We'll probably never fucking know. But who knows what that's going to cause fucking other people to do. Right. Like, your actions do affect fucking other people.
Yeah.
And every time I would think about something, I'm just like, well, this is probably gonna affect a lot of fucking people, so I probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's what's kept me alive through a lot of this too. I mean, I, you know, it's just not artistic people and business people that have these feelings. Anybody can have this shit, you know. And yeah, I hope nobody else is inspired, you know, like, hey, look at all the love and attention he's getting now. You know, maybe if I off myself, then I'll get that. I hope not. I hope nobody's thinking that way, or nobody follows through with it anyway. I'm sure people are thinking that.
Or they do it fucking more, like they murder suicide, that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking, it's weird. The whole situation's fucking weird. It just fucking put me in a fucking weird goddamn mood ever since I started reading into this shit.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, like I said, fucking, I wouldn't talk to a fucking kid. That shit weird.
Hey, don't talk to underage, I would say, you know, boys or girls, you know, anybody, you know, if they're underage, don't talk to them. Or, you know, like I said, tell them, move it to a public, you know, thread or whatever, so it doesn't seem shady or whatever.
Yeah, it's fucking weird and a shame, I guess. That's the fucking word to use for it. And I haven't really seen people talking about it. Like, it seems like it's kind of a fucking big deal. Like, this cancel culture shit got somebody to fucking kill themselves.
Yeah.
And nobody's fucking, like, talking about this shit. Like,
and that's the thing. It's like, you know, social media and public opinion doesn't take much, you know, to sway people. And people, like I said, are ready to pounce. Why don't you wait a fucking couple of days and see what happens, you know, see what comes out, you know, see maybe that person come out with their own proof or whatever, you know, to show you that things aren't what they seem. Or, like you said, maybe taken out of context. And this one, we don't know. We'll probably never fucking know. You know?
No, I mean, he said in his suicide letter that they were taken out of context. And I mean, she did say that he's not a pedophile, just a creep. So, I mean, you didn't really hear much people saying that, just taking, picking, and choosing what they wanted out of the shit. Again, the whole situation's fucking weird, and who knows what other shit the dude was fucking dealing with or done before, and who fucking knows. But I'm sure everybody involved has to feel fucking extremely terrible, especially the family and friends, so shout out to them for sure. Yeah, just fucking weird shit, just put me in a fucking weird mood, and yeah, just really tanked the week. And plus, in the note, fucking, or the letter, like, this shit was pages long. Fucking, he told old Jim to, hey, release our fucking YouTube videos. And because I guess they record like a shit ton at a time and just set them on a schedule or whatever. So he's just like, hey, keep them up and keep them monetized and send my family some money and shit. So listen to the new Wizard episode today. That was nice and not fucking awkward at all.
Well, I didn't care for their show. So, you know, and my opinion on that doesn't change because the guy, you know, decided to take his own life.
Well, maybe read Aphrodisiac again. Maybe that'll change your mind.
At him?
Oh, fuck. That was a good one, right?
No.
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 It was like fucking, it was like one page jokes, and it was just the same joke over and over.
That was not good at all.
Fuck that dude at the comic shop for suggesting that to me. Oh, shit. I was gonna, since Joe stepped away, I was going to go and do a plug, but definitely not after that conversation. That would be fucked up. But I watched a new hit trauma classic, Shakespeare's Shitstorm. Joe, you ever read The Tempest, seen a play or anything?
I have. I've read The Tempest several times and seen a few productions of it, and yeah, it's one of Shakespeare's better, it's one of my favorite of Shakespeare's works, I should say.
All right, well, I haven't read it or seen it because I'm not a fucking dork, but this is Troma doing it, so you know it's gonna be sweet. It's more the same. I don't give a fuck now. Like, Troma was cool when I was a fucking teenager and shit. You know, like, oh yeah, this counterculture, radical filmmaking, doing this fucking crazy shit. And I mean, now you see it, it's the same shit. Sure, they got better lighting and they spent more on special effects. But now it's like even older people trying to talk to younger people. And it's like the whole thing, the whole movie's like, hey, let's rail against fucking counterculture and wokeness and fucking like, it's just like, dude, you got this 87-year-old man directing this fucking movie written by some fucking 50-year-old man with like all these fucking, you know, not young people acting in it and shit. And you're trying to deliver this to like the teenage audience, and it just feels weird. Again, it's like that Steve Buscemi, hey, fellow kids meme. It's just like, what the fuck is going on? Have we not grown at all here? Like, God bless them for fucking still doing this shit to get fucking like a new age of kids into a different type of movie and shit like that. But yeah, I don't know. You think it just wouldn't be the same fucking shit? I don't know. I didn't dig it. I appreciate that, you know, they're still going, still at it and shit, but yeah, it's just really up their own ass and, you know, seeming like it's this deep message and shit. And whatever. The lead actress who played the blind chick, of course there's a blind chick. It's a trauma movie. Why the fuck wouldn't there be? I mean, she was all right. She was pretty good. Like, she was fucking hamming it up in the right way and, you know, acting like a goofy blind broad and shit. But it's just like, even in fucking non-Toxic Avenger movies, there's a blind broad. What the fuck? I don't know. It's just, it's the same fucking shit. God bless you if you still like fucking trauma movies as much as you fucking did when you were a kid. But I don't know. It's just very specific audience shit. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to say sad, but it's just, I mean, disappointing, I guess. It's just like there's no evolution. It's fucked up. I don't know. It's fucked up. Ruined my birthday. One of many things.
This movie did its theatrical tour, you know, and they came through here. But yeah, I had no interest. I watched the trauma movies when, you know, they were on VHS or whatever when they came out, and yeah, you know, I was much younger, but I didn't chase them down. You know, I had other friends that would do that, and they'd bring them over. Hey, you gotta watch this Class of Nukem High, and I thought they were cool, you know. But you know, like you said, they just kept doing the same thing over and over and over. Like, what they make five Toxic Avenger movies. I saw two of them. You know, it's like, you know, once things keep going like that, I lose interest real quick, you know, because it was a joke from the beginning. It's like, how much more can you do with this joke? After I saw part two, I realized quickly, well, not much. You know, you can't do much. So I didn't want to watch three or whatever, Citizen Toxie or any of that shit. They've got their diehard fans, man. And, you know, like I always said, you know, you like what you like. You know, if you've adhered to something, cool on you. You know, make watching these movies, you know, gives you a fucking smile. Keep on.
Well, yeah, if that shit makes you happy, fucking don't stop liking this shit.
It's just, it's not for me. I don't know that I'll ever watch Shakespeare's Shitstorm. You know?
No, definitely not.
I didn't even think the title was funny, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll pass on that. And I didn't know that it was based on The Tempests. And yeah, no, I really don't, you know, even more, you know. So I know the next time Tom picks movies, it's going to be some shit that makes me watch Shakespeare shit. No, because then you would have to watch it again. And
yeah,
do that.
I mean, we haven't been doing the fucking franchises and shit for that long, but I remember at one time I was going to pick Toxic Avenger, and then I was just like, nah, I'll just watch them so Joe doesn't have to sit through this shit. Yeah. Whatever. Or whatever.
And I still like that first one. You know, that first Toxic Avenger, the first Class of Nukem High. I think they got some great shit in it, some good gags, you know, that are still funny. But yeah, I don't want to keep watching the same joke over and over.
Sorry, dogs. Sorry. Hey, at least the fucking movie was dedicated to Stan Lee, so that was nice of him.
You'll get it dedicated to you some point, Jack Kirby. One day.
Hey, Joe, why don't you do that while I roll over and get a beer?
Hey, while Tom's going to get a beer, I just want to let you guys know that if you would like to support the Old Boy Gob podcast or the DW Terrible Horror Crap podcast, the same guy, you can go to Fast Custom Shirt. And it says pre-order, but it's not a pre-order. You can order that shit, and we're going to send that out to you as soon as we print it. And after that, you know, you just head on over to the source, the genesis of all this, dwnproductions.net. Hey, man, Tom's got masks. Then, you know, then support J. Jonah Jerklin because he's popping up on here. I don't know. He's got a slideshow going. Oh, he's back.
Oh, shit, Joe. I'm sure you've seen Dead and Buried.
I have.
You like it?
I think I have a Blue Underground DVD of the film, and not a Blu-ray, because I thought the DVD was fine enough, and not a, what's the other shit they're doing now?
4K.
Do not have that, because, you know, the DVD's fine enough, and, you know, not going to double dip on a lot of shit. And this movie, I remember thinking it was cool, you know? Slow, but cool.
Yeah, this is one that I think falls into the quaint category. You've seen shit like this afterwards that's better. I mean, a year after Halloween 3 came out, and that's probably the closest thing I could think of to something like this. It looks very similar, like it was shot on the same kind of camera with the same kind of film or something. They both have similar looks, but this one's about a sheriff in a coastal town that's trying to figure out these fucking murders that are going on of like travelers or outsiders of the town. And there's a mortician who's fucking just like, oh, repairing these bodies is my art, blah, blah, blah. Just like, all right, well, something's up with this weird fuck.
He's an artist. And,
yeah. Man. Don't talk to any children.
Right. It's probably self.
So the movie's just about, you know, him trying to figure out these murders and just weird shit happening. And in the end, the fucking town's like all reanimated corpses, and he's been dead the whole time. Spooktacular, Dead and Buried. It's whatever. I thought it was kind of fucking lame. There's a couple cool Stan Winston gore effects, which, you know, Stan Winston isn't really known for his, like, gore effects, but it was cool to see that shit for sure. It's like fucking this dude gets stabbed in the eye with a needle, and then the Tyrannosaurus from Jurassic Park pops out of his ass. So I was just like, oh, that's where they got that from. Cool. And then the Predator shows up in the background. I was just like, oh, sweet. Yeah, it's whatever. I guess it's like some kind of witchcraft movie, which, you know, he should have either been just a wacky fucking mortician thinking he's an artist just doing creepy shit, or a black magic witchcraft movie. Like the fucking, oh, I'm a fucking weirdo playing with mortician's wax. That really doesn't have anything to do with shit. That's just to show he's a fucking weirdo. And yes, he's the guy that's doing everything. So, you know, don't think that he's not. And since you're so focused on him being the weirdo, you're not going to think that the cop's dead. Or you will. Fuck it. It's kind of obvious. Watch Halloween 3 instead. It's about masks.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one in a long time, so I don't know. And as I know, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've rewatched doesn't hold up to what I thought. You know, so I don't even play the nostalgia thing and say, yeah, man, I saw that. It was badass, because I know I thought it was badass at that time. I was a different person at that time. I've seen a lot more now, and life has hit me in a lot of different ways over time. So yeah, what I thought was good may not be. I'll watch it again at some point, and you know, hopefully I still think it's good. I remember what's her name? Is it Lisa Marie? She's in it. The chick that was Tim Burton's girlfriend for a long time and always had a cameo.
I thought you were talking about Elvis's daughter.
No, this and she always had like she played. I don't fucking know.
I don't know who any of these people were, Joe.
Right. Well, okay, it doesn't. But she's in it right at the beginning, you know, and I think she shows her dead tits or something. So.
Oh, she's the nurse, I think. At the yeah, okay.
So there's that. Got that going for it.
The movie's not terrible. It's just a very average movie, but you've seen this done better.
Yeah, I mean it. I remember it having a vibe that I liked, you know. But it's also it's a 30-minute Tales from the Crypt thing. If you want
to, nah.
With the
Outer Limits or Twilight Zone.
Tales from the Crypt isn't all that. You know it.
But I'm saying, having fucking watched all these Tales from the Crypt, it's definitely not Tales from the Crypt.
So it's classier.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's why I said Outer Limits or Twilight Zone.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, You'll hear the fucking I love everything horror group saying, oh, this is great. It's okay. Oh, fuck, man. You know what I wish? I'm not going to say that because, damn, this beer's only 4.2.
Oh, man.
Sucks. Anyways, my alcoholism aside, I was going to wish for something, but having watched the old Wishmaster movies, I know that that's probably not a wise idea, but
right.
It'd be nice if we had another Rudy Ray Moore movie to watch.
Well, we don't, Tom.
No, we don't.
We're moving on to the work of, let's see if I got his first name right still, Bill Milling. Now, Tom did a little research into this guy. This guy's been in the industry a long time, Tom, you know, and he's directed, he's produced, he did special effects work, you know, so he was special effects director for the hit movie Squirm. If you all remember that one. So, yeah, I am not sure if he was the earthworm wrangler or what.
Joe, please, too many words. Just call him the worm wrangler.
Okay. And then he went on to do some other work, you know, for another side of the movie industry. Let's say a more adult side. You know, and he didn't use his, I don't even know if that's his real name, but he often went by Bill Eagle. You know, that was his porn directing name. And when he wasn't Bill Eagle, he was Dexter Eagle. And, but yeah, he did some mainstream movies, which we're going to cover. But yeah, Tom sent me a thing for him, like trying to get funding for a script or something.
I think he just wanted you to read
the script. He does have a major in English, you know. He's got I don't think it's a bachelor, just an English degree, you know. So yeah, he's into reading, you know.
Yeah, dude, from what I looked up, what I could find, he just seems like a guy who got into movies or kept making movies as more of the business side, not so much the art side. of the thing. So right there, it tells me, ooh, the rest of these movies probably aren't going to be that good. But he produced and directed a bunch of stuff, and then he opened up a green screen house and equipment rental place in New York, and that's what he's been doing for a while, and he seems just very business side of things. That's what I got from him. He loves the business side of making movies, dogs, and politics. What side he's on, it doesn't matter. Just know that he's a fan of politics.
So we're starting off his works with a movie called Wolfpack.
Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack. You might end up in a body bag.
So this is one that Tom said he'd already seen. In fact, he ordered it as soon as it was announced by our friends at Vinegar Syndrome. You know, he put in that pre-order, got the whole slipcase with it. And so it was no surprise to Tom what this movie was about, you know.
Piece of shit.
It's about a young man that he's transferring to a different college. You know, him and his mom are going to go stay at
some... It's a college? I thought it was a high school.
College.
I think it's a high school.
No, it's a college, I think.
I think it's a high school, and he's trying to get into college.
I think he's trying to go do his graduate shit in college.
Dude, I want to say it's high school.
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's
at it. It kind of matters.
I think it's a college. You know, Tom thinks it's a high school. But, yeah, he gets there and, you know, he sees that, hey, man, these football players here, they sure do pick on people a lot. That's fucking every high school. Okay, there's nothing new there. Meets a girl. She thinks, hey, he's pretty nice. But then she finds out, well, shit, he's a football player. So he goes and meets the other football players. After about to get his ass kicked by a fat one. You know, there's always a fat guy that wants to pick on everybody. Every fucking school. You know.
Do you remember the name of this fat one?
Shit. He just had like a fucking verb for his name or something.
Porkins.
Porkins. No, I think it was Chubb.
No, that's the guy from Happy Gilmore.
Meatball. Not sure, but he's just fat, you know.
Hey, pig dick.
He likes to push people. And, well, it turns out the quarterback of the football team, he fucking sucks. He's the coach's son, and he's only in that position because he's the coach's son. So during one play of the game, his own team tackles him, you know, jumps on his back and, like, fucks him up. So he's off to the hospital. You know,
they purposely cripple this guy so the fucking dude who's good can fucking be quarterback.
So he's quarterback, and he's a charismatic.
You remember his name?
Butkowski or something?
Boot. Because, you know, it's very important.
Yes.
That, you know, Jack Boot.
Right, right. And there's all kinds of shit in this because this movie's about
deep, very deep, meaningful with a message.
Try to make this quarterback guy who's also running for class president to be out like some Mussolini type, you know, some Hitler type, you know, and everybody's following his direction, no matter if it's wrong or right, you know.
And just in case you don't get it, check out this Hitler footage for a minute.
Uh-huh.
This movie fucking sucks, dude. God damn.
It
is put out by Vinegar Syndrome, though, so your friends at Vinegar Syndrome.
No, the guy that's running against him for president, they rough him up a little. The old man that the new kid's living with, you know.
It's fucked up.
They screw him up,
you know. They call him Uncle Ed.
Yeah, they fuck him up a little. And so what do you think, you know? You think, well, shit, this guy is going to have enough and he's going to duke it out. Nah, he calls the cops.
No, you can't. Hold on. Wait, okay. So the fucking transfer kid, he goes to move in with this fucking much, 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 much older gentleman. And, you know, he used to work at the school being a fucking teacher or a coach or something. But he's all about school football. And he's so happy that one of his family members is finally on the team so he can root for it. And the principal or whoever of the school says, oh, yeah, old Meatlick, we let him come down and fuck around in the auto shop. So, you know, he has a place to fix his shit or whatever. So old Gramps, like, overhears the fucking teacher and the football players having their plan of dastardly evilness, and fucking the old guy overhears it. So the football team dresses up like furries and molests this old man in a car wash, Joe. Why do we keep watching movies where these motherfuckers are in car washes and they keep showing the spinning shit like that's fucking awesome? Like we've never fucking seen the inside of a car wash before. And then all these people in your next masks just fuck this old man's ass with baseball bats and he's transported to the hospital in an ambulance and he's fucking like, they treat him like he fucking has dementia or something now because he had the shit beat out of him. It's fucking not good, but this whole movie sucks.
It does.
This whole movie sucks, Dick. It's fucking lame. I don't know who this is for. It's supposed to be like a propaganda juvenile delinquent movie from the fucking 50s or some shit. But it was made in the fucking late 80s and it sucks. Who's watching this shit? Who the fuck is this for? Like little fucking dweeb kids in high school? Oh, I hate jocks. This is how I feel. It's like, this is such the most dork ass who gives a fuck shit I have ever seen. But Joe, continue.
It is. It's bad. It's slow, boring. It's poorly acted.
All these 30-some-year-old fucking people playing supposed high school or college students.
That's common, and you know, that's why I'm leaning more towards college. But anyway, this whole conflict, it's not even much of a conflict. These guys, you know, they're not, you know, they're roughing up some people, but they're not killing or raping or anything, you know. But you know, you want conflict in a movie, you know, whether it's over the top or not. If it's a shit movie like this, make it over the top. But they don't. You know, and the resolution, like I said, is the guy calls the cops and the cops show up and arrest them. And that's it. That's the end of the movie. You know, it ends with the guy, the fascist guy sitting there and he's singing, you know, when Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah, to again, you know, mark, you know, stamp you on the head. Like, hey, this is about fascism. And there's a lot of movies like this that are trying to make a point, that are trying to sway you into one way of thinking or another. And it's okay when it's done well, you know, but this is not done well at all. This is just, it's a fucking bad movie. And
well, we didn't even talk about the tough selling drugs.
Yeah, that guy.
They didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Watch Savage Streets instead. This is fucking bullshit.
It is. And like I said, Tom bought the DVD from Vinegar.
No, this is definitely around the time when they were fucking Vinegar Syndrome's been going downhill for a fucking minute, just releasing shit I don't give a fuck about. Like it used to be like wacky genre movies and shit. Now it's just, I guess, whatever the fuck they can get their hands on cheap. And I guess fucking they were courted by MGM or Amazon now, and they fucking had to split their porno division off or something. I don't know the inside workings, but that's how it came off. Like, they have to be like more hoity-toity now, or I don't know. It's just shit comes off weird. And the movies they fucking have been releasing, I don't really give a shit about. So, hey, we were able to get a bunch of Cynthia Rothrock movies fucking cheap.
Yeah, so you may find this in Tom's for sale box at the next.
I don't have this shit.
Oh, okay, so he's going to keep.
It's staying on the shelf, god damn it.
You know, and how was the commentary on it, Tom? Who did they have and what were the extras?
They had Bill Millings. Hmm. It's like, yes. I can't even remember. Dude was just boring to listen to, too. Looking up his stuff and information about him was fucking boring. And ugh, god damn. At least Severin still puts out quality products.
They do. Yeah, so next week, we'll be talking about Lauderdale, 1989. And this one can be seen on YouTube.
Is fucking Silent Madness one of the ones we're going to watch?
No, that was before. And I don't think he directed that. Right. Some shit.
I'll watch it if he directed it, because that's another fucking Vinegar Syndrome one. But I know he had something to do with it.
Yeah, I think he was producer. I don't think he directed.
Fuck.
Maybe he was second unit, whatever that means.
That means he has two dicks. Or he's a hermaphrodite and has a dick and a pussy hole, so he can go fuck himself.
What about hermaphrodites anymore?
Hmm. Oh, shit. Hey, Jose, you like Spider-Mans?
All right. So, in a Marvel team-up, number 9, Spidey teams up with Nightcrawler. And they're fighting Arcade yet again. The art on this issue is better than anything I've seen so far in any titles. It's done by Rich Buckler, and each page is kick-ass. It was like, hey, man, Marvel's turning the corner. If you've never seen Rich Buckler's art, he's probably known best for the early Deathstalk, when it was Deathstalk the Destroyer back in Tales to Astonish. Good.
Deathstalk's cousin.
Yeah. I know there was some controversy about art, and I don't remember what it was, but I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want the guy to kill himself. You know, he seems like a nice guy, and, you know, it. Fuck. The art on this issue is great. Over in Spectacular Spider-Man, we got the old Morbius, the living vampire. He's out in, you know, park biting bitch's neck. And old Spider-Man's, you know, he's going back to the university, and chick's giving him the cold shoulder for being the coward again. This other guy there says, hey, we're having a Halloween party, Spider-Man's. No, wait a minute, Peter Parker, why don't you come on over and hang out? And he does, you know, he goes up to the lab and he's working on some chemicals and he spills a bunch of shit. And old Kurt Connors walks up to him and, you know, one arm's, hey, you okay? You need some help? Back off, motherfucker. You know, and he's talking shit to him. It's like totally, you know, out of character, something wrong with him. He's feeling kind of weird. Anyway, he's got to stop by the Globe where he works at now, you know, and, the old editor there is like, hey, you know, I love these pictures. Here's a bonus check. And it's like a huge bonus check. He's surprised. Oh, holy shit. And he's walking out of the office and there's some older blonde lady, you know, and she says, hey, you know, Peter Parker, nice to meet you. And he doesn't even notice because he's, you know, he's just so stunned by this check he has. And he walks by and just fucking ignores her, you know. Anyway, he goes to the party. Who busts in, you know, looking for some blood? It's old Morbius. And Morbius, you know, starts biting and sucking on some necks and shit. Spider-Man's fighting him. And the guy that invited him to the party, he's having some kind of reaction, and like he half of his face turns purple, and he starts, I don't know, freaking out and having powers and shit. But Spider-Man, they're fighting up on the roof. Lightning strikes Morbius and turns him back into human. That's the end of that issue. But finally, we get to Amazing Spider-Man's number 201. I don't even remember what happened in this one. Actually, I sure goddamn do. So,
well, I thought it had a good cover until I started looking at the cover. And then I'm just like, oh, you probably shouldn't have drew Punisher with his gun like that, because that kind of sucks. If you just would have stuck to like one positioning of the gun, and it would have been like a pretty cool looking cover, but you fucked it up with that goddamn motion shit or whatever the fuck you were going for.
But you have to like kind of swing the guns around when you're shooting rubber bullets, Tom. Because
Merton bullets
have the same kind of propulsion as regular bullets. So anyway, Spider-Man sees some shit going down in a building. He busts through the window, and there's old Punisher just shooting some villains again, you know, and just like shooting rubber bullets at them, because he fucking shoots Spider-Man's too. Hey, fuck you, Spider-Man. You know, and Spider-Man's is down and out for the count. And but he gets up because, you know, like I said, it was rubber bullets, whatever. He goes to work, you know, goes to the old Globe, and he's partnered up by this one older blonde lady that's kind of pissed at him for ignoring her last time he saw her. Oh, we've met, motherfucker. And he doesn't remember, you know. And if you read Spectacular Spider-Man, you'd know why, you know. But, yeah, Marvel is finally starting to get their two titles together and have events merge at the same time. So that's pretty cool. And, yeah, and we see the Punisher, like he's on the trail of this one guy that's going to be sprung from prison or some shit. You know, he knows of a plan that this guy is going to make the great escape. And he does when he's coming out of the courtroom. Some guys in weird uniforms, you know, jump out of some vans and they pull him in there. And that's what Spider-Man's was there for. Old Peter Parker was there to cover the story. He changes, chases after these guys, and the Punisher's after them too.
Jacoby.
Jacoby.
That was the gentle fellow's name.
Yes. And, you know, the Punisher, he fucking wrecks his van, and it goes over the bridge and into the water, but he's out of there, you know, so he's fine. Because they threw a grenade at him. Man, that wasn't very nice. Spider-Man's isn't doing too good fighting these guys either. He bounces on the street or something that looked really weird. You know, like bouncing on his side.
Because he didn't have any fucking tall buildings to swing from. He ran out of them.
Right, yeah, yeah. So that's a first for old Spider-Man's. And fuck, I don't even remember how this ended. This was
the Globe or whatever the fuck. They print the pictures from the old paintball massacre, and Punisher's like, oh my god, Peter Parker's working for Jacoby. I gotta go get him.
There wasn't a photographer there, so how did he get these pictures of Spider-Man's, you know? And so he goes and stakes old Peter Parker's apartment out. Peter Parker comes in and he's holding that machine gun that he's got to turn left and right at him. Yeah, and that's our conclusion. Oh shit, is he gonna find out that Peter Parker's is Spider-Man's? You think he would have figured it out by now, but you know,
I think everybody would have figured it out by now. You know, we've been doing this a few years now. I was gonna say a couple years, but you know, it's a few years now. We're in the 200s, but this has been going on for decades. I think we're in the 80s now.
Mm-hmm.
Like we started in the 60s and now we're in the 80s.
Yeah.
Still kind of sucks. I mean, let's be real. Most comics kind of suck. every fucking 4 or 5 years, you might have like one standout story that goes into the annals of history of being like one of these standout books. With, I mean, maybe there's about 50 of them. Maybe that's being generous, but in fucking what, almost 100 years of making comic books, you can say there's about 50 good stories out there.
Well, we haven't got that many yet. In
Spider-Man. No, I'm not saying Spider-Man. I'm saying like in all of comics, you know, like how you always hear people bringing up Frank Miller's Batman or fucking what's his nuts, Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. Like there's just every so often there'll be a story that gets added to, oh, an Infinity Gauntlet or something like that. I guess maybe the most recent one would be Monsters, but I mean, people talked about that for a minute. You really haven't heard shit since.
Yeah.
So, like I'm saying, there's maybe like 50 great comic book stories out of fucking almost 100 years. So, mostly everything sucks. That's why there's so much of everything, because most of it fucking sucks.
You gotta wade through the shit to find a kernel of corn.
Mm-hmm. And then you plant that kernel. Don't re-eat it. You need to plant it so it grows. You see, most people think you have to plant the cob. It's actually, you have to plant undigested pieces of corn kernels. That's actually how you grow corn, because it's pre-fertilized, you see, Joe.
And don't pop it.
Mm-mm. Don't pop it. You know what the fuck? I was trying to look up how to get rid of June bugs and shit. And, you know, just being in the area, there's really no way you can. But the good old Indians, they used to fucking eat them because they would pop like popcorn and they taste buttery. Hmm. I'm not going to put that shit to the test, but I fucking saw that and was just like, yeah, that's how I'm going to get fucking rid of these June bugs, dickhead. However, if somebody out there would like to do that, shoot a video, send it to us, you'll be able to get yourself one of these shirts from fastcustomshirts.com. No charge, only pay shipping. Hey, Joe, you hate motherfuckers?
I do. You, Tom. And, Tom says we've done this list before. I don't remember doing it, but I trust him. We've been doing this show a long time. We've been doing this list gimmick a long time. And so, yeah, we've repeated ourselves before. Probably do it again. So this time we were doing the worst fandoms, you know, the fandoms that are just kind of, these are shitty people at heart. They got shitty ways about them, you know. They either fucking, you know, they're just shitty.
And I just went with motherfuckers I don't particularly care for.
At number 5, I've got fans of Star Wars. God damn, do they love some Star Wars. And okay, like what you like, we say that all the time. But when something sucks, you should, you know, say it. You know, and a lot of the Star Wars stuff that's come out, it sucks, you know. I personally think they all suck. You know, I don't hold any nostalgia for the original shit. I grew up with it. Fuck, you know, I should be one of these fucks, these old fucks that just, oh, yeah, I love, you know. But yeah, there's something else, man.
I think, we might be doing the original trilogy sometime soon, Joe. Let's see how these Bill Millings movies go. Joe, my number five are people who are fans of the show Jackass. Fuck. The show sucks. I mean, I get it. Still fucking sucks. And would have been nice if more people were seriously injured replicating these stunts. It could have sterilized a whole generation and we would have been better for it, you fucks. I just hate that shit. There was a fucking time when I was in high school. I think it was either beginning of high school or mid-high school, when you were either watching the MTV shit that was like Jackass, and then they had their Jackass spinoff shows, or it was right when Adult Swim was starting. So they had Space Ghost, Home Movies, and Sea Lab, and Aqua Teen, Adult Swim. But that shit turned to fucking garbage now, too, so they can also go jump in a fucking lake. Once they started doing these live action shows and shit, it's like, fuck you, dude. It's Cartoon Network. Go suck a dick.
At number four, I have comic book fans. And we talked about this earlier, and we talked about why. You know, it's they're something else, you know. And they're ready to pounce, Tom.
Yeah. They're such terrible people, they'll make you want to kill yourself.
They murdered a guy recently, Tom. Murdered. Yeah, it's just the whole fucking scene is weird. You know, just, yeah. I've always said, you know, I love comic books. I do not like comic book people. You know, I don't like going to the comic store for very long. You know, I like to find my shit, get the fuck out of there, not overhear any conversations. You know.
Luckily, they're not really comic book stores anymore, and they're gaming stores.
Right, they're gaming stores for sure. You know, and some of them, some of them have a pretty big anime section now, and those are comics. You know,
anima. Joe, my number four are fans of those pieces of shit, Tim and Eric. Remember when they had a show on fucking Adult Swim?
Ew.
Fuck that. None of their shit's funny. They're all fucking cornball, lame fucking dorks. Fuck them. Fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. Fuck them. Shit sucks. I hate that shit. God damn, do I hate that kind of comedy. Go jump in that movie Cuso. Fuck you. One of the worst pieces of shit I've ever fucking seen. Hey. Fuck all of you.
At number three, Tom, I have heavy metal fans, because you talk about the worst gatekeeping pieces of shit in any fandom. These motherfuckers are like, oh yeah, you know, the, you know, that whole thing. Well, name five songs. That comes from metal. That comes from these fucking pricks, you know. And, you know, it's their whole fucking oh, yeah, you know that band, but did you hear the EP that they put out in, you know, 89? Fuck you, dude. You know? Fuck you.
Yeah, music is something, because it touches people. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a different kind of art, because it's just like, oh, they're speaking to me. Like, it's one of those things, like, it's an art, but it is a product, too. But it's music's just one of those things to where if your music reaches somebody, it's like, ah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So they'll defend you, and like the music's a part of those people, so they want to defend it and want to make sure that you're down for the cause and shit. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, so like if we were doing the most disillusioned fan groups, I would, you know, definitely put the whole fucking punk scene on there, you know. Oh yeah, these fucking anti-establishment songs and this anti-establishment. Oh, on this album that's put out by the fucking biggest music label in the fucking country, you know, that anti-establishment bullshit, you know, it's a fucking lie. It's a whole fucking lie that, you know, maybe at one time, I'm sure these guys were poor at one fucking time, you know, and if they're poor now, it's because they don't know how to fucking manage money, you know, because they had it.
Hey, you know Bad Religion owns a record company, right? Oh, okay. Just so you know. My number three, political people. No matter what side you're on, if your thing is just fucking politics for whatever the fuck side, that sucks. That really sucks, and I wish you could find something that makes you happy. Because it's all the same. It's all bullshit. I mean, think for yourself. I don't know what else to say. It's just, it's sad when you're rah-rah for either thing and that's your identity. You just come blinded to that shit, either side. You don't want to hear anything else. And it's just like, okay, whatever. We're definitely going to be able to get shit done with this attitude. Sweet. That's why this world is a great place to live.
At number two, I have NFL fans.
Fucking lifers. That's what I call them.
Football fanatics, man. They are something else. First of all, like, they like wearing the jersey of like their favorite player. Like, man,
their favorite man.
Yeah, their favorite man. I love this man. That's like, I don't understand. Do you want to be him or do you want him?
I want him in me.
That's the way it seems to me. It's like if he handed you his Letterman jacket, they would slip that shit right on and wear it around, you know.
Smell it first.
and these fuckers are so passionate or insane, I should say.
They paint their faces.
They get in fucking fist fights. At a fucking event that they paid at least, you know, on the low side, maybe $125 to get in, you know.
Talking to you, Philadelphia.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. I see so many videos of people in fights at NFL. It's like, you paint all that shit and you're just going to go over there and get in a fucking fight, you know? Fuck them.
I've never gotten into fucking football at all.
I like it, but. You know, I've watched less and less of it in the past few years because I don't really gamble a whole lot anymore. You know, that was my part of the thing. Yay, I like, you know, I like this team if they fucking make the points I need them to make, but I don't give a shit, you know? It's weird. It's just fucking weird.
Basketball and hockey, I understand the appeal. And if I had the fucking time, like, even if I, maybe if I can catch it out here, I don't even know who the fuck I would get. Hockey would be Blackhawks for sure. But basketball, I mean, I don't give a fuck about the Magic anymore. I don't give a fuck about the Suns anymore. There's, like, no team I would give a fuck about. But I understand, like, why people would watch it. It's a fast-moving game that can turn on an instant. Like, every so often, I'll turn on a fucking baseball game if I'm in the shop. Like, that's more my speed. It's just slow and steady. Put it on in the background. Drink a beer. Do your thing. But football, never fucking got into that shit at all.
I dig it. I just don't like the fandom, like I said. Especially living here in Dallas. God damn.
Yeah. But it is America's team and all.
Maybe you're right in that regard, considering the state of America.
Mm. I mean, it's anime fans, number two, but it's a specific kind. I'm sure you've seen it recently. You see these cars around with like shitty anime characters peeking up and they're like whole cars just loaded with these shitty fucking stickers. And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, some of them are nice cars. It's just like, what the fuck? And it's just, dude, some of them are just straight up fucking perverts. Like, I like big fat tits like fucking everyone. But, you know, just having these fucking anime looking like children on your fucking car with like big bikini tits and shit, it's fucking weird. Again, like what you like, but that's some fucking weirdo shit.
Yeah, don't be talking to no kids in your fucking, you know, personal messages or anything.
Oh, I just like anime. You got this fucking cat broad with her fucking nips hanging out and shit, just driving around. Fuck it. Shit's weird. Like, the last fucking year or so, I've seen so many of these fucking cars. And it's just like, what in the fuck is going on? It's the weirdest shit. Like, really, anybody who plasters their fucking car with stickers, that's fucking weird. Like, you spent a lot of money on this car. Sure, I don't wash mine, but I'm not going to load it up with, like, fucking coexist stickers or whatever fucking shit I'm into. It's fucking to each their own again, but goddamn, is it a fucking eyesore? And it makes me think less of you. You fuck.
At number one, Tom, I have a tie. You know,
who
I don't
do you think you are me?
Right, exactly. So it is a tie between conservatives and liberals. So if you describe yourself as either one of those, you're a piece of shit. To begin with, like, you know, that's your fucking defining. Oh, I'm a liberal. Oh, I'm a conservative. They're so fucking similar. You know, they're so fucking filled with hate and superiority. And there's just so much sexual tension between the two factions that they should just start fucking because, you know, that's what they want to do. They're both fucking dumb. And you covered that already. It's just, yeah, fuck them.
Excuse me. Oh, my number one. It's just, you know, the fans of everything, pop culture, whatever your little niche is, even if it isn't a niche, even if it's, oh, everything pop culture, I'll just eat up. Everything fucking movies, I'll eat up. Everything comic books, I'll eat up. Everything horror, I'll eat up. Just whatever your little niche is. If you just blindly love everything just because it's that, you're a fucking asshole. You don't really have a personality or fucking anything. I don't know. I hate people's joy, Joe. How dare you find happiness in everything, you piece of shit.
But hey, like, you know.
Except if it's everything. That's just fucking weird.
We're going to make fun of you, but like what you like.
Joe, I'm going to continue my trend of unoriginality and do our favorite fandoms.
Okay.
How about that?
All right, that's a hard one, but
okay. Yeah, no, I know. After I said it, I immediately regretted it.
So if you decide to change it, just send me a text, Tom. Huh?
Number one, broads who like sucking dick on camera. Sweet.
I'm part of fandom, so.
Oh, I got to remember to write that down just so I can make it my number one. I'd probably have that be number two. Number one would be sucking slash fucking on camera.
But that is a fandom. That's the thing. You know?
I'm a fan of the people who make fucking dryer openings just a little too small to get out of. Hey, head on over dwnproductions.net. Masks, bust, props, custom work. Maybe you want some custom work made. It'd be much better if you just bought something off the website, but whatever. Beggars can't be choosers. And then head on over to Fast Custom Shirts. Ah, Joe's here. He can do it.
Hey, if you're a stepmom or aunt, we also sell ladies style shirts, so you can head on over to Fast Custom Shirts, hit that drop button when it comes to size, and you can select a ladies cut of any, well, the majority of the shirts that are offered on fastcustomshirts.com.
Everybody, hey, thanks for spending your time with us.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Oh, hey, boy, God, fuck, I missed it. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your week. Hopefully, we'll see you again. And if not, boy, God, how the fuck did I miss it again? Boy, God.